Where is my boy Gary? Gary is here today. Would y'all give Gary some love for putting up with spraying all of us? Come on, give Gary a little bit more love and attitudes. Gary is unbelievable. We had a lot of fun, man. I hope that you understand there's a lot of work that goes into it. So give a hand, a round of applause to all the staff for putting up with all this foolishness. Come on, come on. Listen, man, we are so thankful you're here. You are in service number two. We've already gone through this once and had a great time, but it is all about dads today, celebrating a little man day today. So let's once again give all these dads some love. Come on, happy Father's Day! Now, you may be saying, you guys are a little crazy. Well, you already know that, but this is not the beginning of crazy. We have been crazy for a long time. We've dressed up like superheroes even in the past, which was a crazy. You can go on YouTube and watch all that. Same kind of video, having a lot of fun with it. But on Man Day specifically, we actually went with the Born to be Wild theme, and you can't unsee this either because this right here, that happened, all right? It's on YouTube as well when Bill was here and Brian. We had a whole fun time with motorcycles, and it's just been a ton of fun. So we appreciate you putting up with all this foolishness because there really is a point in the end. We're going to get to that. But we grew up in church where there was no fun. Y'all know that, right? So now we like to go extra level fun. Can I get an amen out there on that? So make sure that you understand there is a point, and we will get to that point, but we are so thankful for you putting up with all this foolishness. And even as you walk in here today, we realize it is Father's Day, and you might be getting a gift today, you might not. Make sure you go out to the Do Good store, pick up some stuff if you need to pick up something for your dad. There are Man Day shirts, a couple other things out there, so make sure you go buy there. But this statement I ran across preparing for this, and it's perfect for today's message, says, I've mixed emotions when I receive my Father's Day gifts. I'm glad my children remember me, but I'm disappointed to actually think I dressed like that. Any dad get an amen on that? Because, you know, it's usually ties. You get stuff that you really don't wear that much. But hopefully, prayerfully, today, you're going to walk out of here with much more than a tie. You're going to walk out of here with a lesson that will apply to your life. Now, if you're wondering, have you ever done a wrestling series before? This is not our series. It's a standalone today. And I got to give a shout out to Johnny Mac coming back and making a cameo. Give Johnny Mac a little love. J-Mac! Now, if y'all don't know who Johnny Mac is, he was here from the very beginning of Simple Church. He transferred about a year ago or so. So we called him. We were like, hey, man, he's a huge wrestling fan. He was like, hey, man, I can't believe y'all are doing wrestling now after I'm gone. I'm like, I can't believe we really didn't do a longer series when you were here. But we did go back into the archives, and we found a series that we did very short, only 2-week series on wrestling. And this is why it may have, you know, gone out of Johnny Mac's mind is because I slammed it out of him. You go, what are you talking about? Here it is right here. Watch. Come on, y'all. Woo! Hey, listen, that was a boxing ring. It didn't have that cushion and that spring that the old, you know, wrestling matches have. Johnny be like, man, I'm done. I'm done. So what we thought about is when we remembered this video, we're having a lot of fun with it, is we're also in the process of smashing hunger, and we need your help to do that. Here is a little image for you to remember as you're walking out. You saw maybe in the announcements or in the pre-show, we've been talking about this. We want to help the hub out, and you can help us do that by picking up a box and then working with your neighbors, filling that box, and then we're going to help out this community. Because every holiday, particularly Simple Church, we love to try to give back and help other people. Well, for all the ladies on Mother's Day, thank you for bringing all the shoes and stuff. We bless Providence House and all these great organizations right here in our area. But now we're going to go for homelessness, and we're going to smash it. We're going to body slam it. So make sure you help us by picking up that box on your way out today. Now, if you're thinking, I'd love to work at a place like this because you guys are crazy. Well, it's not as easy as you think. It's not easy to work here. And as we go through that over the years, we realize that some people could not handle it and don't want to be a part of it. Well, I made the connection to, in fatherhood, sometimes I'm like, I don't know that I want to be a part of what's happening in fatherhood. I hated changing diapers. Any dad admit that today? Where are you at? Come on. Yeah, no, you don't want to admit it. Your wife said, I understand. But I really didn't. I was like, oh, I have a weak stomach. I can't handle throw up either. Any man that can't handle throw up, let me hear you. Come on. Amen. A few more of y'all, because here's the thing. It is tough. It's tough being a dad. And men, you know, we're a little bit wimpy. You know, we kind of work through some stuff. We're going to talk about that because it's Macho Man Day. But I found this clip about Father's Day, and it is so funny to me because we hate to admit mistakes. We hate to lose. This guy right here made a press conference. Have you ever seen any athletic event? They always come out and give a press conference after that. Well, here is a dad giving a press conference after a performance of taking care of his child. Pretty funny, and it's good. Watch.
You sum up the day?
Yeah, honestly, just felt like we got behind early. After the milk spill and the marker on the wall, we just felt like we were playing catch up the rest of the day.
Right before you went to the store, you called a timeout. Was there an attitude change after that?
Yeah, it felt like we were losing our heads there for a minute, so we wanted to just calm things down and get back to the basics.
Did you ever find your keys?
No. No idea where they are.
You gave them a snack half hour before dinner. Was that planned?
No. Lost track of time. Just wasn't thinking. And so... You know, 3 bites of dinner, that's on me.
It didn't look like you had many answers to the double team.
Is it a question?
Come on, y'all. That is funny. I saw it on the Today Show, and I was like, that is some good stuff, dumb dad stuff. And this is the thing. In today's message, you're going to learn some stuff. It's going to apply to all of us in here. But let's go ahead and get it right out front. Men hate to admit defeat. This is why you're struggling. We all struggle with it. We don't want to be defeated. We want to win. We want to be at the top. It's a macho thing. And I know most of you are saying, we don't even use that word very much anymore. Well, you may not use it in our culture, but how I got the whole idea for the series was an article that was recent. It was in Men's Health, and this is what it said. 7 macho mistakes. Why being a macho man is bad for your health. Now, this article challenged me because as I walked through the myths, I was like, I probably am guilty of a lot of this stuff. So as I started walking through these, I thought, let's put them into a little message. Let's find some scripture, tag them together, and hopefully by the time you leave, you will go, all right, I need to be better at this. I need to get a hold of being a man and what it means to be a man. And remember, these are myths. So I have 5 of them for you. And as I go through these 5, I want you to remember this. I am guilty of a lot of them. You may not be. You may only be guilty of 1 or 2 of them. But you don't have to cover all of them. You just have to go back and go, man, I need to work on that. And yeah, that's probably me, and I need to be better at this. For example, I am not guilty of the first one. My brother is guilty of half of the first one. Now you go, what do you mean? Here's the first myth of a macho man. Macho men drink hard and drive fast. Now you take a wild guess at which one my brother's guilty of. Everybody's like, man, is he a hard drinker? No, he's a guy who loves to drive fast. As a matter of fact, one of his favorite videos of all time is this video right here. Roll it. I love him too, and this is the thing. My brother, if you ever go in his office, look for and ask for the picture. He actually has a picture of a little Sammy Hagar reference in there. So, hey, I want to see that picture. It'll kind of tie the two together. You know, he's got a lead foot. He loves driving fast. That's his problem. But you know Sammy as well. Sammy not only drives fast, he created his own tequila too, son. And this is, once again, the macho mentality. It's like, hey, man, drive fast, man, and drink hard. The problem with that is when you combine the two, not a good thing. Many of you in this room, you go, well, I kind of know that. Well, I was reminded last week, and this is for everybody in here, get a little wake-up call. Greg Walker, who played guitar today over here, he's a Shreveport policeman. I was supposed to ride with him this night. He actually was like, hey, man, come ride with me. But I actually was getting ready for another event. I was like, man, I can't do it tonight. I'll catch you the next time. And then he sends me a video and says, well, probably a good thing you didn't ride with me. And I'm like, why? Well, here it is. Watch.
That's where I was sitting. Well, I was out of the car, but you know what I'm saying.
Right there in Shreveport, taking it to the streets, Greg Walker's out there working, and on King's Highway, big truck comes over the hill. Greg said he was standing outside the car. He said, this ain't going to end well. Boom! Hits the police car while he's working another accident. And you guessed it. Guy was drinking hard, driving fast, and now he's not doing so well. And all of us in here go, man, well, that's just what we're supposed to do, man, drink hard and drive fast. But when you look at Scripture, believe it or not, there are warnings, very, very good warnings that apply to all men in here. So pay attention and listen. Proverbs 23. Who has trouble? Who has pain? Who fights? Who complains? Who has unnecessary bruises? Who has bloodshot eyes? Getting to the point, right? Continues on. It's the one who drinks too much. All men in the world, when it comes to macho stuff, and I can particularly remember being in high school, man, I was going to try to, I'm in. I'm like, I'm not a great drinker, not at all. And it's always looking for a brew. Make sure it's never you. Now, why would the Scripture say that? Why would the Scripture address this issue? Well, it continues and tell you. Drunkenness brings the sting of a serpent. Spreading the poison into your soul will make you hallucinate, mumble, speak words that are perverse. It continues on. Dizzy and out of your mind, you'll awaken only to say, what hit me? Anybody been there? Everybody's like, I kind of feel you today, right? I feel like I've been run over by a truck. Now, what is so fascinating about this to me is that every person in this world knows that this is true. But yet still, many of us struggle with different issues, and this is a big one among men. We were on the lake yesterday, and guess what? You saw it out there, man. People struggling. And I'm going, be careful, dude. Be careful. Be careful, particularly on the water. You know there's rules against it. You know you shouldn't do this, but for some reason, we're macho men. Drive fast, drink hard. It ain't going to affect me. But the Scripture is giving all of us a warning and saying, man, listen, dude, this can come back to bite you. Be careful. Number two. Macho men pump iron and eat meat. Now, most of you right now are going, that's you right there. You can tell by my physique, right? No, but you know that in our culture, this is another big macho thing. Drink hard, drive fast, pump iron, man. Give me some steak, particularly on Man Day. That's why we're handing out Slim Jims and beef jerky. Because people are like, yeah, I want to eat some meat today. This is Man Day stuff. Well, this guy that you're about to see, he is known for pumping iron. But he has also been known for eating a lot of meat. But believe it or not, he's going to challenge you even in that thought. Kind of crazy to find this video, but it works for today. Watch.
Steak. That's what a man eats.
Made from stuff guys need.
Eat like a man, man.
There's no one that can relate to that better than I do because I've lived in that world. Steak is for man.
Go meat!
They showed us commercials, burgers, George Foreman with the grill.
Yeah.
And the big sandwiches and all that stuff.
Meet like a man and be full like a man.
This is great, great marketing by the meat industry.
Serious man food.
Selling that idea that real men eat meat.
You look like more of a man with a quarter pounder in your hand.
But you got to understand, that's marketing. That's not based on reality.
Anybody relate? Come on, where my men at? Come on. You know it's steak, man. It's meat. It's the whole idea. When I ran across the video, I was like, man, that's our culture. Here's this big iron-pumping guy, Arnold, coming out and telling you, man, it's what he grew up with. It's what we've all grown up with. And this is the thing. When you start walking through even just these first two myths, hey, man, sometimes you drink too much. Sometimes you drive too fast. Sometimes you eat no vegetables because you think, ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. My mom ain't around here anymore. I'm going to do me. I'm a grown man. You ain't going to tell me what to do. Well, ironically, once again, you go into Scripture, there is something that ties into every one of us that have this kind of attitude, including me, because my problem, you know, already know, is little Debbie. We're going to get into her in a minute, but this is the thing, 1 Corinthians. I'm allowed to do anything. I can do anything I want to. You ain't going to tell me what to do. Ain't nobody going to. I'm a grown man. I'm the boss. That's what you say. But my answer to this is, not all things are good. This is when somebody starts going, look, you ain't going to tell me not to drink. I'm not telling you not to drink. You ain't telling me not to eat steak. I'm not telling you not. I'm going to do me. I understand that. That's part of the manhood culture we live in. But the Scripture was also aware of this thousands of years ago, still going, hey, but not all things that you think you want to do are good for you, all right? And even if it's true, the Scripture says, even if it's true, I'm allowed to do anything, I will not let anything control me. That's where little Debbie comes in. Sometimes she got a hold on me, y'all. And you go, well, come on, man. Are you serious? No, I'm very serious. I know people in this church that have struggled with alcohol. I know people on our staff that have struggled with alcohol. And finally, they go, man, it's got a control on me. Start out with one beer, led into, man, I'm out of control. I can go through all kinds of examples where you think nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm going to do me. You do you. I'm all right. I don't need any help from anybody. But the next thing you know, those things control them. And then all of a sudden, I'm a man's man turns into, if you're so tough, then why are you controlled by this or by that? My favorite exercise verse, okay, this is, goes back to, y'all know I'm not in the gym, I don't know anything about it, but this one works great. Bodily exercise is all right. It just makes me laugh a little bit. It's like, hey, it's all right. But the spiritual exercise is much more important. Why don't you practice being a better Christian? Yeesh. Because that will help you not only now in this life, but in the next life. So the writers thousands of years ago, still dealing with men that we haven't changed much, are going, hey, man, I'm going to exercise. I'm going to go in here and do what I want to do. And you and I both know there are men that have spent more time in a gym than they have with their kids. You already know, just like I know, that in this man culture, it's like, man, I'm going to do me. I don't need to worry about you telling me anything. I got this. And the next thing you know, they're not working on their spiritual life. They're working on themselves. I just need me some me time. I'm going to do my own thing. And back in the scripture, it was the same way. That's why they're writing to him going, hey, man, I see all you guys exercising all that stuff, and that's good. It's all right, but it's not near as important as your spiritual walk. And men are real good at drinking too much and eating too much and telling everybody what they think, driving too fast. Nobody's going to tell me what to do, but they're not very good at working on their spiritual life or their spiritual walk. That's why the scripture keeps coming back, because take a wild guess at who are the guys that were walking with Jesus. A bunch of guys just like me and you. Struggle, anger problems, attitude problems. People that, again, had been caught in sin, man, messing up, stealing money. Some of the disciples were the worst of the worst. They were men's men, and Jesus was going, hey, let me try to help you understand. And even in their culture, it was super religious. So you think ours is super religious. You go to a Jewish culture, when it comes to food, when it comes to your time, when it comes to your activity, they were dogmatic. They were very, very oppressive. And so these men were rebelling, going, you ain't going to tell me what to do, much like sometimes in our culture. So then this is what really trips you out is when you see scriptures like Matthew 15:11. When it comes out, it says, it's not what people put in their mouth that makes them wrong. Because at their time, they were talking about, you can't eat this, you can't eat that. Even in our culture, you can't eat shrimp, you can't eat pork, you can't do. This is all from the Old Testament. This is where they were all doing this. And they were arguing about this. He comes back, and that was also that other verse. Hey, I can do anything I want to do, but it may not be good. Continues on. It's what comes out of your mouth that makes you wrong. Because we get real dogmatic and argumentative and ugly, and we use bad words, even in this fight of, you ain't going to tell me, and your attitude gets rough. We're all guilty of it. I'm guilty of it. You're guilty of it. So these myths of manhood are things that need to be changed, and Scripture miraculously even addresses them. This next one is another one. So we're only on two. Let's go to number three. Macho men never get sick. Now, I'm going to go ahead and let you finish this statement, because most men have said this. I'm not going to the... Yeah, there's one guy out there going, man, I've heard that a few times. This is the truth for all of us in here. I have friends that are that way. I have friends that, again, even in the midst of some challenging times like COVID, one of them got really, really sick. I ain't going to the doctor. Ain't nobody going to tell me. I'm not going. Like, well, then you're going to die. That's just how it's going to be. And then you're like, no, don't say that. I'm like, this is all manhood. We have this, you ain't going to get me. Nobody's going to tell me. I'm good. And if it's not like something silly like we went through with this whole COVID thing, I'm going to take it even to the broader scope. I know men, and you know men, that haven't been to the doctor in years. They're not going to go. If you say, hey, man, you got a checkup? A checkup? I don't need no checkup. I'm all right. Let me tell you why. Let me introduce you to my friend Eric. Here's a guy right here. He's on our staff. He is a great man. Matter of fact, athletic, been to school, man, built, works out all the time. Came up. Guess what he had? How about open heart surgery a couple of weeks ago? And guess what? Part of what he ate, part of his health, and part of his genetics. But did he ever go get it checked? I'll be all right. Everything's good. Well, then if you think, well, that's pretty bad. All right. Well, here's the second one. Now, at the same time, he also gets diagnosed with colon cancer. Had his colon, or part of his colon removed just this past week. Why? Guess what? Is a guy that's a little bit older, did he ever go get a colonoscopy when they told him to? Nah, I don't get sick. You don't need to tell me to go do that. Do you ever go get checked? No, I don't have to do it. Now, why am I, you know, beating up on Eric a little bit? Because you won't find a sweeter, kinder, better man than Eric Johnson. But he also had that kind of mentality that we all have as men. I'll be all right. I'm not going to go. I don't want to trouble anybody. I don't know about all this. And to prove that Eric is not alone, look at this right here. Cleveland Clinic put out this little study. 77% of men who are married in a domestic partnership would rather go shopping with their wife than go to the doctor. Can I get an amen now? You don't know where it goes to the doctor level? You're like, I ain't doing all that. So you ready for this? You're like, Justin, what are you going to tell me? Proverbs 12:15, Scripture addresses it. Fools are headstrong. Anybody in here, wives, do not look at, don't elbow him. Just keep looking ahead. Fools are headstrong and do what they like. You ain't going to tell me what to do. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. But wise people take advice. So you go, well, what advice are you going to give me? I'm going to give you some advice. Go see a doctor. Get a checkup. And you're going to go, come on, Justin, are you serious? Okay, if you don't take it from me, take it from a Halton boy who knows a little bit about why checkups are so important. A Halton boy? Yep, you may recognize him. Watch.
Cancer is cancer, and just to watch a family member go through cancer, go through the suffering, is as hard as it gets. When my mom was sick, we'd text every day. I'd ask her things like, how are you doing? How are you feeling? And I'll never forget one day she said, I wish I didn't hurt today. Cancer took my mom in 2013. They didn't take her soul, they didn't take her spiritually, and she's always going to be with me. Get screened. It's the right thing to do. Stop it before it happens. Catch it early. Do it for yourself and do it for your loved ones around you.
Come on, we give it up for Dak Prescott. You know his story. His mom with colon cancer didn't get screened. You wait too long and then it's too late. Why am I addressing it in a message like today? It's because I'm the one that will be doing the funeral. I'm the one that's honored to speak on behalf of your family, but I'm going to be straight with you. I'd much rather have something else on my schedule. I'd rather be on the lake. I'd rather be out hanging with my family. I would much rather you not have to go through that pain and that suffering I've seen Eric go through. Why? Because of stubbornness? I'll give you the second cause. You ready for this? Here's one more for you. If you were on a colon cancer, is one, but how about prostate? Everyone's like, oh my gosh, he talked about that on a Sunday morning. Have you gotten checked? You looking at everything? Listen, here's why I would tell you that. I'm a man just like you're a man. Let's not be fools. Take our advice. If you haven't been to the doctor, go to the doctor. There's great doctors. We got Milligan. We got Dr. Davison, Clint Wilson, Michael Sewell. There's all these great doctors in our area. Take the time to show the love to your family, to your kids, to your wife, to your extended grandkids, to not be a fool. Don't be a fool. Go get tested. Number four, macho men are also not faithful to one woman. You already know this. It's this whole idea of macho mentality. Drink hard, man. Drive fast. Eat meat. You know what I'm saying? You're going to work out. Do all these different things. All of this is in our culture. And all you have to do is look at everybody that you admire, whether it's an athlete or a celebrity, whatever it is, and then you'll see pictures like this. Of all of these famous people, including your boy Arnold. He's up in there too. Because it was this idea that, hey, I'm going to do what I want to do, and ain't nobody going to control me, and I'm going to manage my own life. And next thing you know, no, their life is controlling them. So the scripture once again comes back, 1 Thessalonians, check it out. Here it is. God wants you to stay away from sexual sins. Now, why does he bring all this up? Why does he want you to take advice? Why does he want you to be careful with what you're eating and how you're acting and the way you're treating people? Why is all this matters? Because loving God and loving people is about relationships. And when you mess those relationships up, you are messed up. Your relationship with God is messed up, and your relationship with people is messed up. And then the problems that we're solving are your problems. And God's going, listen, man, stay away from sexual sin. God wants each one of you to learn to control your own body. He talks about it being a temple. The whole point of that is everybody talks about the buildings and the church and all this kind of stuff. He is very clear in the New Testament. You are his temple. So this is why it comes back to your health and the way you do things. And I am guilty. I already told you, I don't eat right all the time. I don't exercise like I should. I do go to the doctor. I do stay on top of that because I have great doctors and I want to go. Hey, man, there's something going on. I'd like for you to find it early. I thought I had a heart problem. I immediately went in. I'm like, hey, man, I think something's going on. Gallbladder. Y'all remember I got it removed a year or so ago. Why? Because I'm going, I want to stay on top of it. I don't know what's going on, but I want to do what he asked me to do most of the time. And this is the other one that when it comes to young people, your kids, your grandkids, everybody watching you, men, they're watching. This is a fact. God wants you to stay away from it, man. Control your body. Use your body in a way that is holy, the scripture says. That give honor to God. That what you do with your life and the way you treat people, the way you treat your spouse, the way your dating life is. Don't let your sexual desires control you. I mean, this is something that we all know. Like the people who don't know God. What does he say? He's like, look, you can look in culture and see it doesn't, sex controls them. But in our culture, what he is saying is, you really want to be a macho man? Understand that you say, God, I submit to you in this area. Now you already go, I'm going to go next level on you. Jesus was so good at this. Because he was explaining to people, because people go, well, I hadn't messed around. I haven't committed adultery. I've done everything I'm supposed to do. Then Jesus would drop stuff like this on them. He said, if you've even looked at a woman with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery. Okay, never mind, I'm guilty. Because you know and I know it's the culture that we live in. There is more out there. There's more coming at us. And the enemy wants to cause you to believe all these myths and then experience all the pain and the hurt that goes along with that. So today, why on Father's Day would we address all this? Because, dude, it's that important that we as men go, what is it to be a man? Because here's the fifth myth. What is it to be a man? Some of us say, well, you don't ever show weakness. There you go. Here we go. There's another one. Macho men never show weakness. You know how it is. You look at TV. I see it and I hear it from all of you. Your star, you go, I tell you what you need to be. You need to be like these men right here. I picked some of the four of your favorites. Oh, yeah, Clint Eastwood. You know what I'm saying? Man, you got Rambo. I'll tear you. You got all of these bad guys. John Wayne. But if you really want to go next level, here's your next level boy right here. That's my boy. He got an explosion behind it. It's Chuck Norris. Why? Because in our lives, this is the thing. Bite the bullet, man. Suck it up. Real men don't cry. Don't show weakness ever. Well, here's what's so crazy. When you teach that or when you say that and you walk through that, and I have been guilty. There's been times I remember Ian crying. I'd be like, suck it up. And I'm like, well, no, maybe you should cry. But you would get in these culture battles in your mind because we spent more time in culture than we have with the Word of God or knowing what Jesus is like and understanding who he is, that's what we gravitate to. I'm guilty just like you. And then you look and read in Scripture and you see stories that may remind you of who he is and what he's about, and you go, oh, that's what a real man is. John 11:35 is a Scripture that I memorized as a kid, and the reason I memorized it, you'll see right here, is because it's pretty short. Good news for you, men. You can walk out of here and go, I memorized a Scripture today at church. Call your mama. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey. Somebody calls you like, hey, I memorized one. John 11:35. I never understood how powerful that verse was until I got into my 50s, until I've been a minister walking through different tragedies and difficulties like we've experienced in the last couple of weeks. You do cry. It does break your heart. And Jesus, man's man, the ultimate man, walked through this planet and saw some messed up stuff. And the reason you have the Scriptures is because men were writing down what he was saying. And the reason that we are trying to line up, and I'm putting them on the screen after each myth, is because they're given to us to guide us as men as we walk through this generation. And so if you go, well, what's the challenge? Well, the challenge is to be like Jesus, and that's the bottom line. And the challenge is are you? Are you spending more time with Jesus or more time in movies? More time with Jesus or more times in sports? More time with Jesus or more time in your hobbies? More time with Jesus or more time doing you? Ain't nobody gonna tell me I'm gonna do what I wanna do. And the next thing you know, you're not happy. You're miserable to be around. And most people are going, man, if this manhood and that's what your kids and grandkids learn, then it's not very attractive at all. And we continue this vicious cycle that we're in. So if you go, well, Justin, can you help me a little bit? I can, because this is what I'm working on. When I read this list right here, I go, I got a long way to go. Galatians 5, this is the challenge. When you ask Jesus to come into your life and you say, Jesus, come into my life. I surrender to you. His Spirit comes inside of you. It says the Holy Spirit invades our space. When that happens, this is what it's supposed to look like. And if your life doesn't look like this, guess what? You're still living in the flesh. And I can be there just like you can. This is the challenge to say, all right, Jesus, help me to die to me today so that I can be loving and happy and peaceful and patient and kind and good, faithful, gentle, and self-controlled. You admit, just like me, we're not this. Most of the time, men are the opposite of everything on this list. We're not always loving. We're angry and grumpy. You're not peaceful. You're trying to start fights or mad at somebody over this. We're not patient. You know this. I am horrible at patience. That's why God keeps putting those circumstances in my life. Like, learn now, boy. Then kind, good, all of these different things. I'm like, God, I need to be better. And then if this wasn't enough, here's another one that he puts on top of it. And if I, as a pastor, struggle with this list, I know you struggle with it. This is our goal, to go, Jesus, change us. Let our wives, let our kids, let our community see this in us. Mark 10:45, another scripture I memorized going on our first mission trip ever. Even the Son of Man, Jesus himself, did not come to be served, but to serve. It's not like, oh, hey, man, give me. I want everything. No, Jesus said, listen, follow my example. Come and give your life away. That's why we do like something for the hub we're doing on Father's Day. It's like, man, take the time to fill the box. You set the example. Don't let it be your wife every time that there's something to do good in. You're like, oh, yeah, I guess we need to do that. As a man, lead that out. Let them see that. Let your kids see it. Let your young grandkids see it. When you do, then it begins to change the culture, and those myths are exploded, and you become more like Jesus. That's the bottom line. That is our goal. Now, I know what some of you are saying. Same thing I say. Give me a real-world example. Scriptures are good. They're powerful. They can help me, but, man, it helps when I can see what it looks like. Well, Steve Hartman, he did not take a vacation. My associate pastor came right back on Father's Day, and the reason he did is to give you a perfect real-world example of manhood, of what it looks like to live these scriptures out. Perfect. Watch.
When 48-year-old Lamont Thomas became an empty nester, it was the end of a parenting legend. Back in 2001, this divorced father of two took on a foster kid named Michael Perez.
He was a good young man, you know, and I just hated to see him in the system.
Eventually, Lamont adopted Michael, who now works as a nurse.
I don't believe that I would be the person that I am today without the morals that he instilled in me, the family, the extended family that I have now.
How extended is that family?
I tell you, if I had enough fingers and toes to count.
Turns out Michael was just the beginning.
That's Marcus.
Over the next 15 years,
Jamie.
Lamont fostered more than 30 kids here in Buffalo, New York.
Herman.
And adopted five of them.
JJ.
And again, he did this all on his own and with all of his heart.
Every child that I have had, it was my goal to make a difference in their lives.
You fell in love with these kids, huh?
Yeah. Proud of them.
And you retired from fostering.
I did.
Go fishing?
Oh, yeah. Did plenty of fishing.
Trips?
Love all of that.
Of course, we wouldn't be here today if that was still the case.
Yes, sir.
It really was a shocker. I didn't expect for him to restart and to do it all over again. It's just amazing.
Today, Lamont is back in the game in a big way. Not long ago, he took on five siblings, all under the age of six.
Major, are you eating books?
Lamont, who works as a caterer, says he did have other plans for these years.
I didn't think it was this.
But those plans have now been shattered with mayhem.
When was the last time you went fishing?
It wasn't this summer. Yes.
Lamont decided to foster all five after he found out they were going to be permanently split up.
Yes.
And to guarantee they stay a family,
okay.
Last month, he adopted them.
Very good.
You are hereby adopted.
I had to help them. They deserve to be raised together.
Fortunately, Lamont has a great support system through church and friends. And he's not opposed to adding a wife to the mix, should such a saint exist.
Don't lick my mirror, please.
But if not, he's also fine going it alone for as long as it takes to make the difference.
Have you calculated when the last one's going to be out of high school?
We got a lot of years to go, but it's all right. It's all good.
Lamont Thomas, definitely all good. Steve Hartman, on the road in Buffalo.
Come on, man. Talking about a hero? You talking about a macho man? Good night. Can you imagine, seriously? I thought about this, and I didn't say this in the early hour, but I was standing behind the TV. It hit me. I was like, if Steve Hartman showed up today to do a story on your life, what is he saying? He drinks hard, man, drives fast, bro, eats a lot of meat, loves little Debbie, you know. Think about it. Now, if you're like me, after I see a video like that, I'm like, well, thanks a lot, Justin. It's official. I'm a failure. Well, here's the good news. You may feel like that. I may feel like that. And as I look at a guy like Lamont, I go, man, let me be like him. Because you probably figured out Lamont's trying to be like Jesus. kind, patient, loving. Think about that. Not here to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. I mean, golly. This is the challenge for every one of us in this room. And I feel like a failure. And I looked at it, I'm like, man, I just fall short. I need to be better. I want to be more like you, Christ, but I'm still just not there. Well, I ran across this statement because it's in a song we're going to sing in a minute. And it says it all too well. Failure is never final when the Father's in the room. As men, as boys, as anyone, you can feel like a failure when things don't go your way. When you mess up, and I'm telling you, I've messed up. I've fallen victim to every one of those myths that we've talked about. Then you beat yourself up and you go, man, I'm just not good enough and I just don't know if I'll ever be good enough. And then you remember that Jesus that walked this earth, our Heavenly Father, now looks at you and extends you grace. And he offers you today and every day a new beginning. He offers you freedom. He offers you forgiveness. In Ephesians, remember these people that walked with Jesus, that experienced him, that knew him, wrote things like this. You ready? God's unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his family. Man, you feel like you're alone. You didn't have a good dad to follow an example. Maybe your dad has passed. And you're like, man, my heart's broken. I don't know what to do. He's like, hey, wait a second. We got an example. And he's adopted us into his family. He sent Jesus to die for us, and he did this because he wanted to. Man, he wants to. He wants to. He wants to love you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to give you another chance. He wants to say, hey, follow me. Yeah, I know you feel like a failure, but don't, because in me there is hope for a new beginning. As the band gets in place, I'm going to pray over you, but here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Don't get up and leave. You got plenty of time. You're going to be able to walk out, hear this one song, and we're done. But I don't want you to disrupt somebody else, and I don't want you to miss the lyrics of this song. I think God wants to speak to you through this. Father, I pray that right now, as the band gets ready to play, that you would remind us of how much you love us. In our failure, in our shortcomings, and all the things that we mess up in, that you're a God of fresh starts, of new beginnings. I'm reminded of the prodigal son. You told the story of a dad when this kid had blown all of his money, had messed up, done everything he's not supposed to do. You ran to meet him when he just turned around and said, I'm coming home. You met him. You wrapped your arms around him. You killed the best fatted calf. Man, you went and got the best robes. Man, you said, it's party time, because you loved him that much. And I pray that today we would be reminded of how much you love us, that failure is not final, that we have a chance to become like you. If someone's never done that, I pray today they'd say, Jesus, I need you in my life. Man, I've grown up in church, but man, I don't have a relationship with you. Man, I remember that. Or somebody may say, I ain't never been to church in my life, but Jesus, I want to be different for my kids, for my grandkids, for my life. And when you say that, when we say, Jesus, I'm wrong, I've made mistakes, I want you to come into my life and change me, you promise to invade their life right where they're at. And then you begin to help them on this journey, to reprogram their mind to become more like you, the real example of manhood. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us. Thank you for forgiving us. Speak to us through this song. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Sometimes on this journey, getting lost in my mistake, looks to me like weakness is. And my story isn't over, my story's just begun. Failure won't define me, that's what my Father does. Failure won't define me, that's what my Father does.
The journey's where you are. You never wanted perfect, you just wanted my heart. And the story isn't over if the story isn't good. Failure's never final when the Father's in the room. The failure's never final when the Father's in the room. Ooh, lay your burdens down. Ooh, here in the Father's house. Check your shame at the door. Sin ain't welcome anymore. Ooh, here in the Father's house. Yeah. And the Father's arms. Prodigals come home, the helpless find home. Love is on the move, and the Father's in the room. Prison doors fling wide, the dead come to life. Love is breaking through, where the Father's in the room. Miracles take place, the cynical find name. Love is breaking through, well, the Father's in the room. Jericho walls are quaking, strongholds now are shaking. Love is breaking through, well, the Father's in the room. Said love is breaking through, well, the Father's in the room.
Good stuff right there. Come on, Chuck. Hey, listen, man, that is a great song. Thank you for being patient, not getting up, disturbing anybody else. Just remember, if you are a man in this room and you're wanting to start a life group, we have curriculum just like these right here that are available to get some of your friends together. Maybe you can go fishing, man, have a little Bible study afterwards, watch a game, get together and learn to be like Jesus. There is curriculum like this available, so ask Amber about it. Say, man, I want to start a group. I want to get some of these Bible studies into my life. We'll be glad to help you with that. And then also, on your way out, if you didn't get your dad something, pick him up a gift, get you a Mandate shirt, all of it goes to help people in our community. And don't forget your box, man. We need you to do that for the people in the community to help out the Hub. I love you, dude. Thanks for coming. Download the app and tell us if you prayed the prayer. If you have some kind of need, we'd love to hear from you in that way. Until next week, what do we say? Peace. Happy Father's Day.